Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev.
Would it surprise you to know that the scripture talks about money and possessions more than it does about heaven and hell combined? As a matter of fact, four times as much. 17 out of 30 parables of Jesus deal with money. One out of every six verses in the New Testament deals with money. What do you think that is? Why? Why would that be? Well, we could think of three immediate reasons, right, honey?
Yes.
First, we must have money to bless others. God wants us blessed so that we can freely be a blessing to other people.
Hallelujah. That's the truth. Now, consider the words of 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8, New Living Translation. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now, we also want you to hear this in the Message Bible Translation, 2 Corinthians 9:8. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what he needs to be done.
You know, there is a lot of people spiritually ready to fulfill God's desires, but they can't. Simply said, they're so broke they can't pick up all the pieces. That's why the verse says God gives blessings in astonishing ways. So people are more than just ready to do what needs to be done. Have you ever heard someone say, the devil must be stupid? Well, personally, we're pretty sure he's not stupid.
He's not stupid.
He's dangerous.
Yes, he is.
Not because he has any power over us, but because he knows the Bible and every promise God made to us, backwards and forwards. His mastery of deception in keeping you, me, any of us, any believer from realizing the potential and power for success that's at our disposal, that's his trick, trap, and lie to us. He knows that if we ever grasp the power of sowing and reaping, see, that's why we want to get the word out so much, then he'll lose his grip on the world's wealth. The devil knows it takes money to fulfill God's covenant, and he also knows that nobody listens to poor people. Consider the words of Ecclesiastes 9, verse 13 through 16 in the Message Bible.
Ecclesiastes 9, 13 through 16. Once I saw what people really think of wisdom. It happened when a powerful ruler surrounded and attacked a small city where only a few people lived. The enemy army was getting ready to break through the city walls, but the city was saved by the wisdom of a poor person who was soon forgotten. So I decided that wisdom is better than strength. Yet if you are poor, no one pays attention to you, no matter how smart you are.
Now that is an amazing biblical story, and it clearly shows that a poor man may be wise, but most of the time, no one is going to hear his wisdom. Why? Simply because he's poor. Think about it. If a poor man came to our city today, this week, to tell the truth, there may be a few people who would go out to his meeting and listen. However, if a rich man comes to town and tells a lie, thousands of people would probably go out and hear him. The devil knows that as long as the church walks in insufficiency, poverty, debt, that we'll never gain the attention of the world's population. The Bible says that it is because no one listens to poor people, and make no mistake about it, the devil knows that.
Second, God wants us to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, there it is in Matthew 28. Go then and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close, and consummation of the age. Amen. So be it.
Hallelujah.
It would be impossible for you to fulfill the Great Commission as an individual believer. You can't personally go to every highway, byway, hedge, jungle, village, city, and country of the world, especially at the same time. However, this is very important. You can still do your part. The world says that you can't be in two places at one time. That's technically a lie. You can be. As we're doing the recording this morning, we're in dozens of other places around the world. That may seem like a bold or foolish statement, but I assure you, it's true.
Hallelujah.
This morning, we had a drug rehabilitation program in Atlanta, an orphanage in Mexico, a feeding program in Africa, beaming satellite transmissions of the gospel around the world, streaming preaching throughout the nations. And yes, even with we're preaching the gospel in the villages of southern India, training pastors in Iraq and other Muslim countries, and on an internet broadcast teaching of rich thoughts to millions of people around the world. We're in all these places right now, but we've never left our chairs. We never have. Now, you're probably wondering how my fine wife and I can be in so many places at one time. The answer is found in Matthew 6:21.
Matthew 6, verse 21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Our money, our treasure, is in dozens of places around the world this very moment, fulfilling the Great Commission. The money that we've given to help others represents the hours and days that we've exchanged for. You could say your money is your life, because your life is what you've exchanged for the money you received. And let me say this very quickly. If you support the Debt-Free Army and our ministry, then you're in those same places as well.
That's the truth.
Because we do this, we support these as a ministry. Hallelujah.
And also some individually.
That's true.
Third, he wants us to know how to bless other people. God knows the money we have takes on our personality. In Luke 7, verse 41 and 42, Jesus is talking to a very greedy, money-hungry Pharisee. And this is what he says.
There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? See, Jesus knew he would have the man's attention if he was talking about money. However, the point he was making dealt with love and forgiveness. It's very important to understand that money takes on the personality of the person who possesses it. The truth, and we've said this a number of times, and somebody asked me one time, why do you teach about money so much? And it was very simple, because the Lord said, teach it until the people get it. And that's what we do. Now, as I was about to say, the truth about money is that it's neither good nor bad. I've heard people say that money will change a person, but that's not true at all.
That's right.
The truth is, money is only capable of revealing the character that was already there before.
Amen. Money is just an amplifier. It will amplify the heart and the mentality of the person who has it. Money takes on the character of the person who's in control of it. When an evil person has money, they will spend it on evil things. When a good person has money, they will spend it on good things. There is no such thing as good or bad money. So get this truth down in your spirit. Your money never makes a decision about how you will spend it. It buys and accomplishes whatever you decide.
Say that again, baby.
It buys and accomplishes whatever you decide for it. Your motivation with money is a determining factor in whether or not God blesses you with more money. It's in the Word. You know, before he releases real wealth to you, your true purpose must go beyond just satisfying selfish desires. If your reason for having money is primarily for your own selfish purpose, God knows it. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart, and he just doesn't fund wrong purposes as a Christian. Remember, God wants you blessed, but he wants you blessed to be a blessing, and that's the right reason. God knows your reasons for wanting money. If he can't trust you with what you've got, you can know absolutely with certainty that he won't be giving you the great riches that they're talked about in Luke 16, verses 10 and 12.
The reason Jesus talked about money so much is that he wants you to fulfill his covenant, his great commission, and his desire to bless other folks. If you're broke and in debt, you can't fulfill the three desires of your Heavenly Father's heart. Never lose sight of the success principle 633, otherwise known as Matthew 633.
That's it. Matthew 633 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And listen to the Message Bible translation of Matthew 6:31 through 33. It's incredible how God just brings it home.
Yes, he does.
With that Message Bible. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met.
It's time for each of us to do what God wants us to do with money. And when we do, he'll give us more.
Hallelujah.
Strongly encourage you to personalize 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the Message Bible. Here's what it says. God can pour on the blessings and astonishing ways, so that Maya is ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways, so that Eileen is ready for everything and anything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. Personalize that verse for you.
Amen.
Get it down inside of you. And yes, as I said earlier, we teach about money. You know, one time I remember Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, first church ever pastor, preached a sermon, his first sermon. People loved it. You know, congratulated him on it. Next Sunday, he preached the exact same sermon. And one of the deacons came up and said, "You know, Brother Hagin, that sermon was really good last weekend, and it's still good, but we're just wondering if you don't have another message or two." And Brother Hagin said, "Oh, I got a lot of messages, but I'm just going to preach this one till everybody in the church gets it." We hope you get it. We do. That's why we teach this. Go to haroldherring.com if you've been blessed by the teaching. Up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Make sure you check out this week's two-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.